Hi, welcome to the big show. Yes, I'm back. We've got a packed show for you tonight. All six of us are here to discuss the big stories in tech, everything that's gone on in the week. And there's breaking news, apparently, according to Ian. So that's his story. Joining me, start us off, top left is Muller. How you doing, mate?
Am I first? Crikey. Yeah, I'm fine.
You came
thank
in
you.
First, so yeah, you were here on time.
Before time. Oh, well, I'm always on time, mate. Always on time.
Yeah.
So I start back to work tomorrow.
Oh, well. Aston.
Yeah, back to Aston. Got a training course tomorrow. Things have changed, apparently, and I've looked at some of the photographs, and it has changed there. They've done a lot of work in
well,
the
based
off-season.
On the fact that it's a historical 17th century building, I'm hoping not too much has changed. Otherwise, yeah, we've remade the entire place out of aluminium and steel.
No, but they've changed the contents. And the story can change a bit.
Is it because I know it's freezing cold in the winter there? Is it hot in the summer in there?
Oh, God,
does it,
yeah.
Doesn't repel the heat?
No, it's the walls are about that thick.
Yeah.
So
you might have thought that would help, but.
Well, yeah, it kind of just heats them up and they act like a massive storage radiator.
Charlie's in the chat room. Hello, Charlie. Welcome to the big show. Good to see that you come make it. Oh, hang on.
Booze?
It's me dinner.
Wow.
Oh. Hey,
right
result.
On time.
Yeah.
Nice.
I'll be eating this while with the microphone off during the course of the show.
Oh, that's lovely. Nom, nom, nom,
nom, nom, nom, nom, nom. Good. Are you looking forward to going back there, Muller?
Well, I don't know. There's plenty of other sites to go to. I'm going to see what I'm going to a course there tomorrow. And if they're as rude as I've been the last few weeks, then I might go to Soho House because Soho House has got links to the police and also links to America, Jeff. And,
that makes it sound like there's a tunnel from one of the police cells to America.
Police used to live there. There used to be a single quarters in the 80s.
He's going to start there, and then Jeff, he's going to be knocking on your front door in about a month's time, having crawled the entire distance across the Atlantic.
No, Jefferson.
I'll be really hungry.
No, President Jefferson, what's his name, went there and stole loads of brummies to go to Georgia to start a place called Birmingham.
Well, there's loads of Birminghams in America.
Yeah, there's like a ton.
Oh, yeah, but they literally went to Georgia, apparently.
Literally every state has a Birmingham.
All right.
Almost.
Yes.
You know?
Oh,
Jeff, now I'm wondering if there's a Birmingham in Colorado.
Jeffrey's going to do a check now and go, you're lying, blank, right? I'm not, there's literally, but there is possibly. There's definitely one. There's definitely one in Michigan. There's a town in Detroit because Oakland Hills, where they did the Ryder Cup, was in Birmingham.
There's not a Birmingham, Colorado.
Okay. Can you do a search on how many Birminghams there are in America?
Sure.
Oh, that'd be cool. We'll come back to you. Ian Grant is next. How you doing, mate?
I'm doing good.
What's going off in God's country?
It got melting. I'm melting in God's country for a surprising chance. It's not raining and it's red hot. And my little office down the garden is getting increasingly warm. I've sat here all week with my headset on talking to people, trying to set stuff up slowly as it seems the wheels of this company I've been working for all week work very slowly and they have to have meetings.
Well, we've had a
for
bit
everything.
Of shit. We've had a bit of shit this week because old Tom Ferry in the chat room has said, I said, it's kind of 30-odd degrees here, 31, 32. And he's like, that's my operating temperature. And I'm like, yeah, but we're not used to this. That's the difference.
We're not.
It's your temperature.
Definitely not in Yorkshire. There's ginger people that are spontaneously combusting when you get further towards Scotland.
Yeah, exactly.
They can't cope. It's just too hot.
It's not the heat, though. It's the moisture in the air.
Yeah, it's the humidity here.
Well, allegedly,
here it's much more humid.
So allegedly, there's going to be a thunderstorm this afternoon here in Birmingham, and I'm sat in a metal van that's linked to the power supply, doing a show with you guys. So,
but you have got rubber tyres. You should be all right.
Okay, so when I step out, I'm in deep shit, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're right, we got rubber tyres.
Ewan, I'll do your eulogy.
Thanks, mate. He was a lovely bloke. Next, Rich, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good, thanks. Also, boiling and going through that, like, do I buy fans for these 4 days when it's like this year? What, like, how much money am I supposed to invest in cooling myself?
What does a fan do, Rich?
Well, it's keeping me alive right now, quite frankly.
Well, it circulates air, so it circulates warm air as well, mate. You can use them in the winter.
That's true.
Richard. Shut up,
Muller. Am I missing something?
Muller's being your fan.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'm with you. I get it now. Yeah.
It was both subtle and crap at the same time. No, good, mate. No, because you know what, the ceiling fans that you get, that's why they've got a reverse switch on them. So you can lift and then.
I didn't know they had a reverse switch. Right.
Yeah, they've all got a reverse switch.
I didn't know that either.
So if you look at
that,
look
you can walk side, across.
No, they spin and they spin like a propeller so that they're pushing air down. But then if you go up to them on the side, there'll be a little toggle switch and you stop them, flick the toggle switch, and then they'll spin in reverse. And what they do is they lift cold air off the floor and then they send the hot air that's in the ceiling down towards the floor again. So they're good in the winter.
Yeah. But I mean, even if you run them in the normal direction, it pushes warm air down. So it's fine. Like either way, it's fine.
No, but what you find is that's very direct. So especially if you're trying to watch TV, you get your eyes watering and crap like that. Whereas if you suck it up and send it down, it goes down out and around the walls then because it comes up and goes along the ceiling and down.
It's meant if you don't have that for some reason, it still does something. Like it's not nothing.
I keep thinking of getting one of those wall-mounted air conditioners in here.
I've got one in the office and they're lovely, but friggin' hell, they're expensive.
I bet, yeah. I keep wondering about it. Well, because then it'll warm in the winter and cool in the summer. We'll have everything.
It'll cost you about $2,000 and it'll cost you about £300 to £500 to get it fitted with the coolant and all that kind of stuff added into it. And then you won't fit it yourself.
No.
The one I've got in here, I had to pay £300 to be fitted, cash in hand. And it's brilliant. I mean, I used to go, when I was at the office in there, I used to go in and I'd sit in there, turn it on, and it was like, this is beautiful. And it was either toasty or it was freezing cold. It was lovely. But they run the clock up. I mean, we've had Kieran in there, and during the winter he's been running it, and then he sits with a blanket on him with this thing running, and you go and it's like, oh Jesus, boiling frog. I've actually hidden the remote now so he can't switch it on. Since he's been in the house, we've got another £60 a month on the electricity bill. So
kick him out.
Yeah. Patrice, how are you, Mrs.?
I'm doing very well. This week I'm just the deputy, the substitute for four people, so four people in management, so that's awesome. I'm basically in meetings from like 8 a.m. till, well, I was done today at around 7, so 7 p.m.
Okay.
I had a lunch break, so that was a good day.
That's all right, man.
No, it's fine. Like, it's a week and it wasn't planned that way. It's just with all the changes happening, it just happened.
It's frazzled. You're not used to working, are you?
No, I'm used to working. I'm used to working more than that. Like I've done 14, 16 hour days, so I just don't want to do them anymore because it's not healthy.
No, it's not.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
We just thought work was something that you pushed around your podcasting. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, basically.
A little much. And finally, Jeffrey, with the answer to the question on everyone's lips, how many Birminghams are there in the USA? Jeffrey.
Well, there are 14 in the United States.
Not as many as I thought.
Now, Birmingham, Kentucky, that's actually a sunken town. So presumably no one's living there. And there used to be a Birmingham on the south edge of Pittsburgh. But that is now just part of Pittsburgh. Yes, apparently it's now a volcano.
So Birmingham, Kentucky is actually Atlantis.
Yes. Also, it turns out, not in the United States, but nearby, there's a Birmingham in Saskatchewan, Canada.
Right. There's probably
The Pittsburgh one makes sense, though, because Brummies would have been metal bashers.
Yeah.
It depends when they went out, wouldn't it? Because you needed the Industrial Revolution here first.
Well, they mainly went out in the 18th century. to the US. They went to places like Georgia, possibly now to Pittsburgh, to teach the Americans how to do that. And then the Americans brought back, what they call it, machine tools. So
mass production, the Americans that came back with them.
No, yeah. that was actually bought in Lancashire.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
In the mill.
There's a there's a program on Channel 5 at the moment, the Victorians, how they built UK. So watch that if you want. It's on Channel 5.
Blimey, what an informative show, and we've said nothing so far. Right, the Week in Tech. Who's got the first story? Shove it in the chat room and let's get... Yeah, come on.
Let's get topic.
It had to be you, didn't it? Because it was the...
Let's leave it something topical. So another one of these companies that basically host DNS for a million websites had a minor oopsie moment. They did according to their Twitter, they did a software update and it went a bit wrong.
Oops.
And so at 3:15, I mean, my wife came back from the shop and said, yeah, it turns out she couldn't do, you couldn't pay with one of our cards because it wouldn't work. Again, the connections wouldn't go back. And there were people on Facebook mithering that various things wouldn't work and it's affected Barclays, HSBC, BA, PlayStation Network.
We went down this week. Was this us, Patrice, as well? Or was that
No, that was more me. I did a software update.
Took down them?
Maybe that's... I hope not.
And this explains, I was in the shop this morning and some woman, little old lady, was trying to pay for her shopping and it kept rejecting her card.
Well, it's only been since about 4:15. Yeah, we are talking breaking news here, mm-hmm. and they've now mended it. And they've rolled back their change they made and everything's back all right again now. What a surprise. But these services, all these DNS services, domain name service, for those that don't know, is a thing that turns IP addresses, the numbers that make up a website, so your 192.168.1.1, turn into, I mean, if you're being precise, it's not really going to be that, but turns then into www.btn.com or whatever it happens to be. Mm-hmm. And when those services go down or offline, websites can't redirect their pages. So you no longer get a web page, you just get a blank screen and say, no, don't know where that is.
I mean, you're talking about
telephone directory for the internet. But all of those things need a DNS name for them to get around the place. Mm-hmm. They can't without these services. And this was won by a company called Akamai, which are massive, huge.
Yes.
Yeah, but you're saying this is things like HSBC and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. All
and their tweet just streaming. Says, we've got a problem. We're actively investigating the issue. We'll provide an update in 30 minutes. And you just imagine how many transactions 30 minutes is.
Yes, yeah, I've had this conversation with people before about databases.
Across the planet, that is tens of billions of transactions, potentially.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Thanks. Like, it's not even everything
else. You're not even looking at PlayStation Network. And also, there was some of the TV guys were affected as well. Channel 4 and ITV streaming services. Hmm. Steam, Call of Duty. And EA, they were all affected too.
Yeah.
Most
of the UK banks as well. Barclays, Lloyds, TSB, Halifax. So most of the big name UK banks.
Yeah.
So that will have been a big oopsie moment for Akamai.
Yeah.
Last time it was a company called Fastly that had similar issues. Again, same sort of thing. We talked about that at the time, I think, I remember.
Hopefully all the companies learn something from it and have redundant DNS systems. Because they shouldn't just use one thing.
Oh, no. Silly, that. Yeah. Very silly.
Yeah.
Now, we haven't been to fix this issue based on current FSM resume as normal, yes. We'll continue to monitor. There was no denial of service attack, no DDS. We broke our own, basically.
That happens.
Is there no testing? There's got to have been a testing of the software before it went on. There's something wrong.
Surely they would have lab tested it before they rolled out the change. Yeah. You'd have thought, wouldn't you? They'd have done lab testing or on a quiet stretch of the network where they could go, well, let's make the change there, see how that behaves. But DNS replicates between server to server to server.
Mm. Yeah. Also, I mean, it would be good to not. I mean, I don't know what happened in this case, but it would be good to not roll it out for everything at once. Like, if you can. Like,
DNS is a bit tricky. 10%. DNS is a bit tricky because once you've done one, then you'll basically sync with all the others, and you'll have that TTL. I mean, it depends what they've set the TTL.
But you usually have a couple of core servers, and I mean, if you just take one of them and say, okay, like, I mean, yeah, it might take down something, or it might cause some issue somewhere, but there are at least two other core servers that still work.
Mm. Yeah, you'd think so. Someone as big as Akamai, who are huge in terms of that kind of space, they are massive. Because there'll be a lot of downloading services you use. If you ever download stuff, it's Akamai that hosts quite a lot of it. Adobe particularly is one of them.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I think everybody uses Akamai, but like I know Google, Apple, and so on, they just use that. Akamai is just one of many services that they use. Just to spread out load and rely on one
redundancy and everything else, it makes sense.
Yeah.
So it's all back.
It will be very interesting to see, like, what, like, I will have to watch the Akamai page a little bit, whether they release any details, what happened and what they're going to do.
Anyone who's got anything to do with servers now, or websites, immediately just puts them on their Twitter account.
Mm-hmm.
Quickly and monitor them for a little bit.
That's all they've done it for. They've just done this so they get more likes on Twitter and followers.
Yes, it's possible.
Bastards.
I studied Akamai when I was younger.
Muller, you've been trying for 20 minutes to get that joke out.
Versus how much would it cost us to buy all this advertising? And like, you know, it's actually cheaper just to shut everything down for half an hour.
Yeah, I'm not so sure that's a good strategy.
Taking down the internet for 30 minutes, the best money advertising can buy. Money can buy.
Everyone will know you. Notice you're gone. Let's turn the internet off.
As long as you're not selling a competent service, you'll be fine. Good story, mate. And very, very topical as well.
Mm-hmm. You can't get more topical than an hour ago.
Patrice, your story was next in.
Yeah, my story was next in. It's a bit of a, let's say, challenging story. I think it's the California Department of, what is that, Labor, probably, is suing the game giant Activision over unequal pay and sexual harassment. And this is not like a person suing someone or like even a group of people, like a class action lawsuit. This is a government agency suing another, a game studio. So, I saw on Twitter quite a few posts from people who either work there or have worked there, women mostly, that basically echoed the department is called the Department of Fair Employment and Housing. So there's that. There seems to be some truth to it. It's not some like someone just claiming something is happening. Not that usually is the case, but like some people always say, "Oh, this is just people. I don't know, want money or whatever." No, it's a federal department suing. So
I mean, anyone who's watched the Apple thing, Mythic Quest.
Mythic Quest, yeah.
I mean, the way that the guy treats the Aussie girl, who's his lead programmer. And it's just like that is, you know, there's more than borderline sexual harassment that goes through it. There's definitely bullying that happens in it.
Yeah. And that is a TV show that is probably toning it down from reality.
Yeah.
I mean, it is known that in the IT world that is a problem already. But I know also from some people, it is in the gaming world that's even more. Because in the gaming world, you have this, it's called bro culture. Like men working together and like everything is very relaxed and like you're having fun and you're playing games and like all of that. And in that culture, in that environment, something like this just is easier to happen because it's let's call it less professional.
Is
like,
there any, I mean, they're saying that the activities of Activision Blizzard fostered a sexist culture where women were paid less than men and subjected to ongoing sexual harassment, including groping.
Mm-hmm.
I thought we were past that.
Yeah, no, I didn't really think so. But what?
No, there were some reports about like they apparently had like a game where I think new hires had to basically like get drunk and then crawl around the office on all fours, and doing that it usually happened.
Yeah, but that's okay. I mean, that's
I'm not too sure about this, like groping women when you're drunk. Like, I mean, it's not, that's still not okay.
Not
at a workplace. Like, no, actually never, but definitely not at a workplace.
The problem with the gaming fraternity, the gaming world and thing, it's that the whole thing of that juvenile culture almost. Mm-hmm. And so that fosters this kind of behavior which would be barely tolerated in 14-year-olds these days.
Yeah.
But somehow because they're paid a lot of money, they can get away with it. It's terrible. Mm-hmm. Terrible now.
I'm not saying it's everywhere. Like, I'm not saying every gaming studio is like that, because there are, I definitely know a couple that are good examples where that doesn't happen.
There's an article here on Engadget about Ubisoft being sued in France for institutional harassment as well.
The word groping is indefensible, and there's no way mm-hmm. any of us is going to make light of that, because that is just not okay. I went on a rugby thing, and I took Ellis many years ago when he was about 6 years old, and they nicked his shoes off him because he was playing in a sandpit, and they hung him on the top of a thing, and I'm like, he started to get upset. I'm like, okay, don't worry, mate, I'll get it back for you. I just looked at the guys and went, enough, give them the shoes back. And they were just like, yeah, sure, no problem, mm-hmm. right? And it's someone to actually stop and go, this is where it's gone far enough from having a bit of fun at someone's expense that is lighthearted. But then one of the young lads who was a winger gave Adam, the captain, a bit of lip. So three of them held him while they pulled his underpants open, and they poured the entire contents of the sandpit into his underpants. And I've just got to explain to Ellis that, no, this is okay, because he gave him lip and he's being put in his place, but the fact that he takes it means that when he needs them, there'll be 14 blokes around him that will be there to protect him. And there is a positive element. No, there is a positive element to letting people bullying. Know they're. No, it's not bullying.
It is.
It would depend on the situation.
Someone gives you a little bit of lip, you've got to give them a bit of a metaphoric slap to put them back into the position that they're in. Mm. I'm sorry. Yeah. There is an element of that is required in society.
It's most required in groups of rugger buggers, generally.
No, it is.
That's just rugger. It's rugby. It's just rugby club attitudes. That's not reality. Attitude. It's not the broader world. That's rugger buggers.
No, there is. I mean, there's a time when you push back. I'm sorry.
It doesn't result in anything physical. It doesn't result in physical violence, though.
No, but I've had issues with customers where they say things to me, and I've reacted badly to that. And someone's going, oh, well, that's the last you'll see of them. And it's quite the opposite. I actually get more work from the people that I stand up to than the ones that I just bend over for. There is a moment where everybody needs to stand up and go, no, enough.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, that I'll agree with. Mm-hmm. We used to, one place I used to work did desktop support, there was one of the senior directors that terrified every other engineer. No one would go near him. They all said, oh, no, he's a nightmare, he's a pain in the ass. He won't do anything we tell him. He always just moans and groans. Go on, I'll go and see him. Go on, can't be that bad. And I wandered in, and he goes, oh, what's wrong? Wave his hands about, you know, typical sort of manager type person. So let me get it fixed for you, right? There you are, it's fixed. Oh, okay. No, the other one seemed to do that. That's fine. It's fixed. Okay, so every time he rang me up, oh, will you bust now? And have you broken it again? I thought I fixed it for you before. Oh, no, I mean, it's all right. Come see me. I'll sort and sort it out. And it was life's a spy ever since. And again, it's that thing of not being intimidated by someone who's way up in the company. There's a couple of them that I ended up treating like that. And they all asked for, oh, can you send that nice Ian up? He usually fixes it. And, you know, and so, well, it worked. Yeah, there's that thing works. It has its place, though. I mean, there was no need for me to pull sand down his cakes, though, was there?
Yeah, but not everybody is in a position to do that. I mean, I've experienced that myself, not at the current job, but previously, where there was a boys club at the top management level. And there were like a ton of like inappropriate things happening. But I mean, if it's your CEO, what do you do?
But what I'm trying to say is I think there's an incredibly difficult dividing line to make, because there is a positive element to people mm-hmm. being reminded of their position.
There are a lot of people that can't see where the line is that they should not cross.
On both sides.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There are people who are below who can't see that they should shut up because it's not their thing.
Yeah, but the trouble is a lot of this happens in uniform jobs, in the services, in the police, in, well, fire brigade, I don't think ambulance, but, and it's all been stamped out. It was stamped out before I left. And to be honest with you, a lot of it was pure bullying and it made people's lives hell.
Yeah, that's not okay. Yeah. That's absolutely not okay.
Well, and it's the same thing.
I did work for the fire service. I taught at Morton. And they had a bit of a black humour that went around with attending events where they would laugh and make jokes about what they'd seen and happened to them. And then this was squashed absolutely by senior management. And the amount of PTSD that they had afterwards went through the roof because there was no outlet valve that came from that. It was not done well. It wasn't the best way of doing it, but it gave a positive purpose to something that was potentially seriously affecting to those firefighters.
Well, black humour is not bullying. It's not bullying.
No, no, no. But what I'm saying is everyone comes down and says, oh, that is the way to do it. That is the politically correct way of dealing with the situation. But all they did was stamp out what they perceived as the negative, and they didn't replace it with anything that's positive. And that's an issue as well.
But then you've got things like hazing in within the military. I mean, that's, again,
that's banned. It's gone.
That's banned. That's completely gone now, isn't it? That's gone.
It's definitely gone because I've got friends who are still in the military and all that stuff's gone. And if you do it now, you're in, you're in deep. You've got a problem.
Yeah, yeah. You're in deep, yes. But
all this kind of thing used to happen in uniform services. And if you're in uniform services now, it's professional. Black humour, I think, still exists because people do it in private.
No, no.
What used to happen, obviously, used to go down to the bar in our case, but those have all gone now. So you go somewhere where you feel safe, and then you can all talk about it, have a joke about it, and go, and everyone around you goes, what the hell are you talking about? But it's the way you got to talk about it, because otherwise you go mad, and you will go mad.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's kind of a different thing to what this lawsuit is about.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Because totally there agree.
It's literally on an institution level, on a management level. Mm. I mean, there were examples where even HR was informed and they just shrugged it off, stuff like that. Like that's simply not okay.
It can't go on anymore. That should be like, if the military can cope with stopping things like hazing and stuff, then a group of programmers surely can manage to behave like civil humans.
There is nothing in our story.
You think so, but it's not happening. Like, that's the problem. It is. I mean, this is years after Gamergate. This is after Me Too. This is after so many things where, like, people should have stopped and said, maybe we should change something. Maybe we should.
There's nothing in this story that's acceptable. Not a thing.
No. Didn't happen. And that's why this lawsuit, I mean, it is weird that there's a government agency suing another company. But I think that's the only way they can do it.
Probably the only way.
Yeah, that's literally the only way.
If I had a job where once I was hired, they said, okay, so your initiation is you've got to get drunk and crawl around the office. And I'd be like, well, it's been shit working for you. Bye.
Mm-hmm. You're probably the same as me.
But not everybody has that choice. Like
but if you want to come on BTN, you've got to put with the fact I'm going to take the piss out of you.
Yeah.
Hold on a minute.
Yeah, but that's different. I mean,
but we've looked at you. It's easy. We can cope with that because we can see you, mate.
Therein lies the problem because, but that's different. That's what everyone says. And to some people it isn't, to some people it isn't. And there's plenty of people who won't come back on this network because they didn't like the fact I took the piss out of them.
That's true.
All I'm saying is I'm reporting Jeff to HR because he won't wear his pants.
Yes, it's got to stop, Jeff.
Muller, just so you know, there's a chair in the HR office that has my name on it.
It's not the not wearing the pants; it's the thought of you not wearing the pants that's worse.
Yeah. Well,
does it have a little line down it?
Hey,
what?
Skid mark.
Oh, no.
Oh, is it the one from Casino Royale?
You always go one too far, don't you, Muller?
I did give you a hint, so then you made me say it.
No, I mean, I'm gob. I actually say I'm gobsmacked at that story. But the things about physical sexual assault, I really thought we were past that.
Yeah.
Well, physical sexual assault is called a crime and should be reported as such.
Mm. Yes, absolutely. Police should be involved. No question.
It should be, but I mean, one, that is very hard for a lot of women. And two, if there is a level of protection on the like management level, it is very hard. Like, even if it gets reported, it's hard to prove. Because if everybody like holds together and says, no, this didn't happen, what are you going to do?
Yeah, no, I was...
It is hard. It is very hard.
I was talking to someone the other day, and they mentioned in passing about someone who wasn't very well at a firm that I'd done work for. I filmed them a few years ago. I didn't know them particularly well. But then I knew someone else that in the same organization, and someone said, oh, yeah, and the two of them are living together now. And I was kind of like, really? And I never put two and two together. These are two people I would never have put together at all. And they went, yeah. And then someone said, I don't think they told HR that. And I'm just kind of like, why should they? But they should have done, according to the company policy. Mm-hmm. If they were going to date, they had to tell HR that they were intending to date. I'm like, that's...
Yeah, but those things are actually in place for a good reason. Like,
yeah, but then it's like, where does that invasion of your private relationship come to? And but then it's not doing that, it, and then the person says, "Oh, it was actually a sexual assault. It wasn't a long-term relationship."
I can't think of the word for it. I've had to watch various of these kind of HR-based videos of various things like that, things like this particular topic recently, as part of my sort of employment. Yeah. And one of the things that I saw was, it's all to do with the fact that potentially if I'm the boss and I'm going out with my secretary, that I could have unfair advantage over what I'm doing. I can promote her over someone else. And the only advantage is, you know, that I'm having a relationship with her. Or equally, I could fire her because she doesn't want to go out with me anymore. Yeah. And again, the same thing. So
there's a power difference in this situation, and that's
all she could find me.
You can spot the naive bloke who works for himself, can't you?
My sister was sleeping with her boss. My sister was sleeping with her.
Are you sure she wants everyone to know this?
Well, no one's going to know her name, are they? But she got the sack. He sacked her when it all finished.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah, exactly.
Yet again, in my previous encounter, in my previous job, is that if you were going out with someone of either sex, your own or the opposite sex, you were supposed to report it because they would split you up. Because obviously it could cause issues.
Not so much
domestic, but say if you're going out with a female on your
shift. You can't have a domestic while you're at work, is what I'm saying.
It's not so much a festive. What if some big drunky beardy guy tries to assault her and you may overreact? There was a couple of same-sex couples on one of the shifts that I was on, and they split them up as well for similar things.
That's also odd as well, though, if they're on opposite shifts as well, because you just never see each other.
Mm-hmm. No, they sort it out. Don't worry. There are shifts that they could do it, it's not
all different areas.
They could move into another station, which they used to do, and put them on the same shift, which is what you just said actually. But these days they don't tend to do that, but they tend to monitor it, and if it causes an issue, then they do it.
Yeah. Good story, mate. Lively debate and conversation there. Who's next?
Jeff.
Oh, apparently
Jeffrey,
I am.
Finger. You've been a bit slow these last few weeks, mate.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
normally you're pretty good.
You know, I figured it would be nice to give everyone else a chance. So, so I just kind of held back a little bit.
So this is a good one because I'm an Amazon Echo user extraordinaire. So tell me more.
Okay. So the open source Matter platform, which is... like a standardized smart home device platform, it's been gaining more support. And now Amazon has come out and said that they're definitely adding support for Matter as a software update to most Echo models. And so basically, if you have like the original, very original Echo or Echo Dot, you're not going to be able to get Matter as an update for your device, but pretty much everything else will. And considering how popular the Echo platform is, this is very good news for Matter adoption. So I expect that we will start seeing more smart home device makers announcing that they are making their products Matter compatible. So that you will have awesome. A much wider selection of devices potentially to add to your home.
Does it matter?
Oh,
of course.
Do you want to go wait in the car?
Yeah. We have an intelligent, lively debate here every Thursday, but Mullicums is ballast to that.
Just to keep us grounded.
Indeed.
So is this instead of like the Hue stuff, for example? I wouldn't need a Hue hub. I'd just all lights would be on this Matter system.
If you did it, I mean, they could also provide like what they've done with HomeKit and so on. They could just update their bridge to provide their devices on Matter. Like that's not necessarily what's happening.
So this is one standard across all of the devices, mm-hmm. rather than 14,000 of them.
Yeah, I mean, ideally everybody would switch like fully to Matter, but I'm pretty sure you, because they have a long history of using Zigbee. Or Z-Wave, which one of, I don't know.
No, I was going to ask about what the reference was to Zigbee here, because this is kind of replacing that, isn't it? And is there more security within the Matter system as opposed to...
Yeah, it's similar to...
Hue have said they're going to join part. Hue were going to join in, too, according to one of the articles, if you click through, it says
Hue. The question is, do they actually put it in every device, or do they just integrate it via the bridge? Each way is joining it. It's just...
But the interesting thing, they're calling it a Matter certified device. And if you're using the word certified, I tend to think of something that's an escalation of at least security.
Yeah.
Because one of the big problems with IoT is the number of people that can hijack the process.
Well, that's part of it, but it's also about interoperability. Like anything you buy with Matter will work with other Matter devices. Like there's no difference.
Well, how could Hue be Zigbee when it doesn't work with, for instance, my current Amazon Echo, which is Zigbee?
I said, I don't remember whether it's Zigbee or Z-Wave. I always forget which one.
No, it's Zigbee. I've got the same one that's in the picture there.
The Echo is Zigbee, but he said what Patrice is saying is she doesn't understand.
Your Hue bulbs should work with your Echo as a bridge because it's the same. And Amazon will even sell you a bundle where you get a couple Hue bulbs and an Echo without a Hue bridge, and you can just set it all up.
Yeah.
No, I did that, and I had to buy a Hue bridge because
it's time to revisit.
Have you got? Is it the Echo or the Echo Dot that you've got?
I've got the big Echo, the massive big one.
Yeah, they do that.
Oh well, it didn't work, and I had to buy it. I had to buy a bridge, which is connected to my router.
Jeffrey, there's your next how-to.
Yeah, I'll start doing how-tos to show how to do all this stuff that Mueller couldn't get to work.
There's lots of videos. You've plenty of material then. Yeah.
Jeffrey's Mueller message. An entire stream of YouTube videos purely aimed at one person watching them.
Yeah. Yes.
Mate, that could totally take off.
Totally. First of all, could you do a video how I watch your videos?
Oh.
That one will take a little bit of work.
Can you make them chapter-based and pausable as well?
Yes.
Lots of pausing.
Lots of pausing.
And plausible.
Yeah. No, but I'm very excited about Matter because, I mean, right now it's kind of a mess. You have to look like, does this work? I mean, I use HomeKit, so I have to check. Like, is this Google only or HomeKit only or like both like or nothing? Like, is it their own thing? You just don't know. So, yeah, having everything in one standard and just working with everything, and you don't have to think of it. Like you just say, okay, does it do Matter? Done.
So what we're going to say is that Apple are going to buy Matter and kill it.
Apple is part of Meta.
Apple's part of it.
Yeah. It's a consortium of some sort, like USB, basically.
Well, what I'm hoping is that once we get widespread adoption of Matter, I won't have to do the thing that I do right now, which is to figure out which of the platforms that I have available to me in my house supports which feature on each device.
And then also which menu you want to trigger it, which one do you trigger? Like, do you go with,
right.
with HomeKit or you go with
right.
Echo?
Yeah. And I have different routines set up through Alexa versus HomeKit simply because of which feature each device or each platform can access for a device, which is stupid.
It totally is.
Cool. So we're happy about that, aren't we?
Yeah. And there are already, as far as I remember, I think some devices already have Matter support. I think the new HomePod Mini, for example. I think there are already some devices out there that support it.
Cool.
I think some Eve devices from actually the company is Eve now, not Elgato.
Rich, have you got a story for us?
I have. What, do you want did you do the Steam Deck last week? Did I miss that? Or
no?
Nope.
Then let's do Steam Deck because it's exciting. I'll put a link in the chat.
We knew that you would want to talk about it, and
yeah,
none of us felt like being.
Well, it's this or Netflix starting to stream games, and quite frankly, that's the entire story in that sentence. So no. Steam Deck's much better. So it's a mini PC that looks a bit like a Switch, made by Steam or Valve. And I kind of want one already, although they're not coming out for like another year at this point.
Yeah. $399 as well, so it's a keen price.
Yeah, I heard from a lot of people that they were having issues ordering it or pre-ordering.
Yeah. Let's see, we can reserve one now for £4. Expected order availability Q2 2022. That's for the 512 gigabyte model.
So 6 months.
Kind of the one I want. It's not too bad, is it? I really would kind of like, I'm quite serious, that the idea of being able to play all my Steam library on a handheld device like this, this is going to be a thing going forward now. We've reached a point where you can get the processor and the graphics into a small enough, lightweight enough, energy efficient enough package to be able to play AAA games on a handheld thing. Go ahead, sorry.
No, is this their Nintendo Switch killer, basically?
No. Okay. There's no such thing. There's no such thing. Do you buy a Switch because it's got the best graphics? Or do you buy a Switch because it's the only thing that has Zelda and Mario Kart on?
There you go.
That one.
There you go. Yeah. So there's no such thing as a Switch killer. If you want to kill a Switch, kill Mario. Good luck. Okay. Valve.
Good luck with that, yeah.
Good luck there. So no, it's not a Steam killer. It's not a Switch killer at all. It's I don't know what it is. It's not an anything killer. It's maybe an end to my gaming PC, because why would I need one?
Gaming PC killer.
Well, you to know, be fair, yeah. It's not doing massively competent graphics, is it? Not with
neither's my PC. But you know, it's
well, you didn't say you had a shit gaming PC. We thought you had a super duper one.
You know, I would like to upgrade it, but a new graphics card will cost more than the Steam Deck. Especially these days.
I still struggle to know how this is better in some ways. Why I'd want this over a Switch over my iPad or even over my iPad.
Well, it's going to boil down to the software you want to use. I mean, an iPad is fine for the kind of game that you can play by touching a screen with one finger. Mm-hmm. Or if you want to carry a separate controller with you on the off chance you might want to play. I'm on the opinion that regardless of the processing power and the graphics, iPads are crap for gaming. For sort of anything but a casual, if I can touch a screen, cool. Anything beyond that, it's not set up for it.
I would guess that the Steam Deck is basically, it's kind of the equivalent, like you have a gaming PC and you have a console.
Mm-hmm.
And the Steam Deck is kind of the, like you might have the iPad or the iPhone for like some gaming, but if you're like serious about it, you would for mobile gaming probably go more towards Steam Deck or Switch or something like
yeah that. I mean, this is playing your Steam library, this is playing the latest AAA full fat games.
What? It's in DVD quality.
It's got a 720p screen, which is
yeah, but for mobile,
which is fine at on a 7-inch screen and DVDs.
Can
you connect DVDs 480?
Can you connect the TV to it?
Yeah, it comes with a dock. It's got a Wi-Fi. Nice. You can run it on a monitor. If you're limited for space,
there's definitively games that sit well on iPad and iOS in general, aren't there? They're the games that don't require a joystick in essence. Anything that's a dab to delete or that kind of stuff will go here, go there, slow down. But as soon as you start wanting to direct action with a pseudo joystick in the bottom left corner or something, they are utterly shit.
Yeah, so, but that's where you have controllers on iOS.
Yeah, but that's what
which is fine. Carry it. But
why
yeah,
you carry the controller around.
Exactly.
If you're carrying that, you might as well carry the Steam Deck, which is going to run, F1 2021 as opposed to whatever people are playing on iPads.
Why don't you just download the Steam app onto, an Apple TV and play there?
Well, because you can't do that on a portable handheld device, then
it plays.
What are you talking about?
Oh, wait, that's a long question.
Do you mean the Steam streaming app that streams from your gaming PC to the Apple TV?
Yeah.
Well, how is that comparable to a portable black box that goes in your bag and goes on the bus and the train and in the car and on that plane and over to your hotel or whatever? They're just not remotely, and why not sit at your PC?
I'm just imagining Muller taking a TV, an Apple TV and a controller on a bus.
Yeah, good luck.
That's what I do,
Look, this is cleverer than a Steam Deck as he sits there with a plasma screen.
On a UPS to run it all.
Oh, yeah.
That's it. So why not do that? And
where are you going to get the Steam?
Coming out of your ears, dude.
Not just there.
There was a reason why Muller was never on this show for a long period of time.
This is rubbish for 400 quid. I mean,
Kelly come back next week so you don't have to come on, Muller?
I've invited her. She's ignored me.
Well, there's a surprise.
You'll need to get Jeff to sort it out.
A woman's ignored Muller.
It's true.
So there it is. Anyway, there is a new Switch.
You might have upset her. How did you upset her?
No, you, I think.
Oh, I think I definitely upset her, yeah.
Oh, yeah, she's not upsetting me, but she might be, actually.
But you said you were on a podcast with her and she said she wanted to come back on.
No, it weren't me.
I said it.
No, yeah, Patricia said
I said it, and she told me that. So she's definitely interested. She probably didn't send her email.
Maybe we need to send a better envoy.
Yeah, get Patricia to do it.
Maybe
I'll talk to her.
Maybe she needs me on bended knees to beg her to come back.
No.
Kelly, if
you just ignored Muller, that's why.
Unless I got the wrong email address. Maybe she's changed her email address. The one that was in the system.
It's written to Kelly somewhere else.
I don't know. That works.
Yeah, that's the one I use, actually. I asked you for it. Yeah. Anyway. Okay. She hasn't replied, so
maybe maybe the email's underneath the responding to the Muller fan club email that she's going to do first.
that's possible.
I'm going to issue 5 words here that will fill me with dread. Muller, do you have a story?
it's not too. Hold on, I'll just copy it and then put it in there. It's very Apple-esque. Oh, crying out loud. Paste. NVIDIA shows off RTX ray tracing and high-end gaming even on an ARM PC and an ARM chip. So maybe this is the future of gaming. So we're running games on ARM. This could possibly open up gaming to Apple. If they wish to open up one of their machines to an external GPU again, this is probably absolutely massive if it takes off.
Even on the PC market, computers
support extra GPUs.
But Mallet, what's the point of running games on ARM when you can just run them on x86 chips? Come on, what's the point?
I mean, he's probably suggesting there when you haven't got an x86 chip.
Well, yeah. I've got an exciting
gaming PCs. I mean, there are gaming, there are PCs out there now with
There's some in the Steam, Steam Deck. Yeah.
You better Steam Google on it. You might be able to do a game on a Chromebook. But it's all down to maybe down to the, you know, using less power. I mean, mine draws probably 700 watts at least. Well, no, it can't do 650 watts, 600 watts. But
five gigawatts.
No, watts.
Yeah, I said 5 gigawatts.
121
gigawatts. No, I wish it did have that, that power. It's got a 650 watt power supply in it. But I mean, if you have a NVIDIA 390, they draw, is it 300 watts?
What would the implication of this be, Patrice, if you're talking about running games on the ARM setup for Windows on Parallels on an M1 Mac? Is this suggesting this would work?
I know. No, it wouldn't, because the hardware can't be passed through.
This is basically just ARM compatible drivers for NVIDIA graphics cards.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Pretty much. Yeah.
If you haven't got an NVIDIA graphics card, don't matter.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
I have.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm desperate. I'm absolutely desperate to be able to do PC gaming on this M1 Mac Mini. No, I'm desperate. Don't say no. Say not yet.
Not yet.
Yeah. There you go. Possible. Possible.
I've just been sat waiting to play games on my Mac since my Power Mac. And it's never happened. It's not come. They've been saying it for you. I saw Steve Jobs and he stood there and he said, EA will bring all their games to Mac the same day as PC. Not one ever happened. No. Not ever.
You know, of course not. The what really killed the potential for gaming on the Mac was Microsoft, because they bought Bungie right before Halo was going to be released. And so Microsoft chose not to release the Mac version of Halo. And I think that was the nail in the gaming coffin.
There was no Halo effect then?
There was no Halo
effect. Oh, I'll hand my crown over to you.
Jesus. Not an accolade. Not an accolade.
No, what have I done?
If that's real, Tracy's going to the drawing room with a pearl and a revolver and a glass of whiskey.
The thing is, if M1 is based on ARM, and this is ARM drivers, then there's nothing stopping Apple from putting a 390. They could strip out all the power stuff and put that into a Mac. It probably wouldn't go into a laptop. I reckon it would probably go into
Mac Pro.
Why would they do that?
Mac Pro would be one. Mac Pro might be an option. Like where they would do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but already before this, there's nothing stopping
or a large Mac Mini.
Apple putting a 390 in a Mac Pro with the x86 drivers. Because I believe that the way to get an NVIDIA card running on a Mac is to download the drivers directly from NVIDIA. There's nothing in Mac OS that would have let it run.
I can give you one problem. The price of a Mac Pro, how much do they cost?
Well, he's got the old one, the old cheese grater ones, and do the various bits of faffery to make one into about five PC.
Yeah, but he's talking about the ARM one.
Well, the only person that would buy a cheese grater Mac Pro to make it into a Hackintosh.
Yes.
Oh, no, I mean, the cheese grater Mac Pro, doesn't it start at $5,000 for a basic one?
Look at it. They're about 35 quid on eBay.
Yeah, they are. The button on eBay, find the right model, and then many weekends of faffing, and then you'll have something that might work.
I have four of them, and they're going to be coffee tables at one day.
Nice. Seems reasonable.
Now we talk about the new one. If they make an ARM one. Yeah.
They will do a Mac. They will definitely do an ARM one. But as I said, in the current, I don't know which NVIDIA cards are supported, but I mean, there is a possibility in the current Intel x86 based Mac Pros to add graphics cards.
Well, they got one.
I don't think they're going to take that away.
No, I don't see that happening either.
Yeah.
See, I was quite interested because I've got Modern Warfare 4, I think, is it? The one that's based around Chernobyl.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've got that on the Mac platform. And the other day I thought, oh, I haven't played that in ages. I'll download that. So I downloaded it to my M1 Mac and it played just fine. Mm. And in fact, it was beautiful. The graphics were big and smooth and it was awesome. It was the machine that game had been waiting for. But then I'm sitting thinking, why is that playing so well so easily?
Because maybe it's not graphically
very old
intense.
Game.
Yeah.
Well, no, yeah. I know it's a very old game.
Yeah.
But it's some, an emulation.
Some games are very processor intensive and don't use the graphics cards much. But if you're looking at modern games these days, a lot of the games that your kids play, they are heavily graphic orientated and they need the graphics card.
More than the processor.
And well, the processor still has to provide the... So you probably need a reasonable i5 or equivalent from the red guys to, you know, to supply the oomph to them. But they won't bottle.
You were really close there to having me that you were competent until you said
that. Yeah. I'm just trying to remember the graphics, the one I got in there. But the thing is, ATI and that you do need a certain powerful chip to provide the data to the card.
You have to provide the data to the card. Like the graphics card can only process what the CPU has at least provided.
But most games these days, they don't need a massive... An i5 is plenty for most, or even a lower-end other card. So, sorry, chip. They don't need a massive, powerful chip these days to run most of the car.
Gigawatts of oomph.
Oomph, yeah.
Gigawatts.
If you got the oomph... most of the games, like I think, like Doom, mixed it's Eternal, and mainly graphics card bound. As long as you've got an i5 or something or equivalent, you're fine.
Rich, anything to add?
No.
Oh, okay. That's surprising. This podcast and all the others is brought to you by TSO Host. We're getting a brand new server off from you. We're getting two new servers. They're going to be absolutely super big and wizzo and fantastic and fly. We're just waiting to get it sorted over. So that'll be in the next week or two, which means you can download us even faster. We can put even more crap on the net for you to watch. Good. If you've got anything you'd like from them, dedicated servers, VPS, VPN, all that kind of stuff, then go to tsohost.com. And make sure you use the offer code BTN20 because that'll get you 20 off. But also it lets them know that we're watching you and you're watching them. But also get yourself out in the socials, please. Thanks at TSO Host Supporting at British Tech. Then those are the things that you need to do because that's what gets us seen by them and gets us that new server offer. Yeah, see? And also IMN Max. If you've got anything with an Apple logo and it's not working properly, then send it to Callum and the peeps down at IMN Max, and they will get it fixed for you. Everything that you possibly need to know is there. They'll give you repairs to your machines. They'll give you brand new and refurbished machines as well as, and you can take your old machines to them and just get a bit of a pep on them with a brand new SSD and some more memory, and you'll be flying. Anything with a cracked iPhone screen, that kind of stuff, they'll do that too. And they'll do memory recovery as well as. So anything that you need, give them a shout. imnmax.com. Make sure you use the words BTN because then you get 5% off. Time for the cool thing. Start us off, Muller.
Okay. Mine's not free, actually, but it is free if you've got Audible subscription. I've got the Sherlock Holmes Definitive Collection. 70 hours of Stephen Fry.
Oh, jolly good.
Yeah, it's talking. It's basically every single Conan Doyle book. And I'm enjoying it. I've almost finished what's it called? The Story in Scarlet, or what it's called?
A Study in Scarlet.
Study in Scarlet.
Study in Scarlet, yeah. I've almost finished that one, but that means I've now got another 65 hours to go. But
I've got at the office somewhere the original radio plays with Basil Rathbone and all of that lot in it. Greeny gave them to me. I've got them on a drive somewhere. I need to find those because they were brilliant. Really, really good.
Oh, I love the Mafia.
Yeah.
I think my next one's going to be Douglas Adams' Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, also by Stephen Fry.
Yeah, he's a good reader, isn't he?
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Stephen's got what it takes.
Yeah, he's engaging. He's engaging. That's what I like.
Yeah.
So it's if you're a.
There's a definite need for a good voice actor, isn't there, for audiobooks? I mean, I know pretty much anything that's got Dennis Boutsakeris on it, I'll listen to it, because he's just got the most engaging voice ever. Real, real good voice actor. He's awesome. He does a lot of the Tom Clancy stuff, which is, you know...
Oh, that guy, yeah. I've listened to some of those, yeah.
And he's got that really good, crisp, rounded American accent, Midwest American accent. Really, really good. Good one. Ian, what have you got for us?
For me tonight, it is something that Patrice told me about. I've finally dug out my cupboard, wonder where it's gone, holding up the camera. Apple Magic Trackpad. I finally reconnected it back to my Mac here, and I've been using it for the last few weeks. Brilliant. Bloody brilliant. Why didn't I do this before?
A widened trackpad?
No. Right. Apple wireless trackpad.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this one's older than God. I mean, Muller's got a nicer, more modern version of this, but
yeah,
it has been very, very brilliant. Really is quite nice.
Apparently, we're all backing you up on this one.
Oh, so the whole world is using them. Everyone was saying the other week, oh, you should really go back. And I was searching through a box at the weekend and I found it. I thought, oh, brilliant, chuck some batteries in it. And I've been using it all week and it's been fab. Now I'm probably going to buy one of the dearer ones in a bit once this is settled in nicely.
Can I give you a piece of advice? Don't buy it from Apple. Go to CEX. You'll get £50 off.
That'll do, so mate. Just buy I was going to buy a second-hand one. I was going to look out for one on eBay.
I got this one for £95 from CEX, and it was still in the cellophane from Apple.
All right, okay.
However, it must have been an unwanted gift. It would never be used. I bought this from CEX, but that had been used. I'm a bit worried about this. It had a company name on it, so...
I've got one of them. They're shite. They're utter rubbish. It's the worst mouse in the world ever.
£25, so I weren't moaning.
But yeah, no, I should invest in one of the new ones, I think.
Top. Yeah. CEX, you'll save a third.
Mm-hmm. That was me for this week.
Okay, that's hate simple. That thing. I really loathe. I've bought two of them and I've
tested them both. Him.
Okay, sell yours to Granty then.
Slight caveat to Muller from the third. He said, in the Hitchhiker's books, Stephen only reads the first book, unfortunately. Bad luck.
I'll have to check that out. I mean, there are different versions of all these books. There's a one book I downloaded, and it was read by an American bloke, and it was Douglas Adams, and he had such a droning voice. It didn't project the humour from the book.
Yeah.
If you ever read the Bill Bryson stuff, don't listen to ones read by him. His voice is...
Is he one?
Oh, yeah. I'd love his voice for reading books.
Bill Bryson?
Yeah.
Oh, no, there's an American actor called Ian McShane, or Canadian he might be, that read them
Lovejoy.
When I listened to them a million years ago. Big chap, yeah.
Lovejoy?
No, not Ian McShane then.
Mike McShane. Mike McShane, the comedian.
Yes, that's the guy.
Is he still alive?
I don't know. Huge man.
He was about four people when he was on Whose Line Is It Anyway?
That's exactly the guy.
Oh, him. I know it. Oh.
Yeah, he read the ones I used to listen to on audio tape a million years ago. And they were fantastic. And then I listened to it with Bill reading it. Oh, God, it was like, yeah, 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 yeah. He got a really whiny voice.
Yeah, no, Tom likes Bill's voice as well, so it does it for him. Gets a semi.
Okay.
There we go. Right, Rich, tell us your pick.
Well, I'll tell you what, as long as we're picking audiobooks, I'll pick...
We're not, but okay.
Well, we're not, but... Right, so my latest narrated audiobook has come out this week.
Yours?
Yeah,
you,
I read...
Are you?
Yeah, this is what I do now. I read and narrate audiobooks.
Oh, good. Nice.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Oh,
cool.
So the latest one has just come out. It's a bit niche and a bit specific. It's called 50 Things to Know About Dog Training. There's a very select audience for that, I will admit. But nevertheless, hang on, I'll put your link in the chat room.
Mike McShane is still alive and he's 66, says Bob Beach.
Fire talking Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
Yeah, he was a monk.
And the therapist who dies in Office Space. You don't need IMDb, you know me.
Audible, so, read by Richard Smith.
Yeah.
Yes, look at that face.
There's a few on there.
Well,
but my answer, you just, I do lots of talking, as you know, so I had all the stuff, and then it's a case of auditioning and getting jobs doing it. That's my fifth one. So okay. I've done it's all fiction apart from that.
Give me your name, your agent, mate.
I don't have one.
Oh, right.
Okay. I just do it.
Jeff Gammon.
How long does it take to record one then?
About an hour per, let's see, an hour of finished audio takes about 7 hours to produce.
Oof. Well, then.
Sounds about right.
So that's, you know, it's you read it and then the rest is editing. It's mostly editing.
Do you go to a studio or you do it via an ISDN line or?
No, I do it here.
Well, ISDN's gone, isn't it, there? So
yeah, set up for it here. But my actual cool thing without Audible was the new version of Adobe Premiere, because I am wetting my pants with glee over the new speech to text function. That I can put a YouTube, I can put my video into this. And apart from exporting a file for YouTube, it will give me a subtitles file that I can go in and edit while I'm editing the video. I can use text to jump around the video. I tried it for the first time last night. It will give you a full transcript, or it'll create you a .srt file to upload to YouTube.
I use SRTs, but I get a company called rev.com to do mine. And they come back and they're really very good. There's very little editing to do, so it's the best £3 I ever spend.
There's quite a lot of services like that. This is just integrated into Premiere.
I was sitting going, I should get into Premiere because I'm not going to be able to afford a super duper Mac, and they brought out the M1 Mac. I've backed away from that, but I pay for a full Adobe Suite, so I get a Premiere with it. Mm-hmm. I should start bloody using it.
You should try it. Yeah,
it's good. And they've just also in this version native support for M1 Macs.
Superb. Well done. Patrice, what have you got for us, Mrs.?
So I was thinking a little bit what I could pick today, and I picked something that I've enjoyed for the last couple of years and probably never talked about, and that is a YouTube channel. I'll put it in the chat as well. That is the Marble Machine X. So there is this guy from Sweden that 4 or 5 years ago, like built a marble machine, like out of, well, plywood basically, and played a song and put it on YouTube, and it was super successful. And ever since, he has built a professional great marble music instrument, basically marble based music instrument.
Oh,
for years. And with massive community support, and like he was struggling a lot, and basically a community built around him to help him like design and prototype, and he just had to execute basically what they came up with, like maybe do some testing still and do it. Super, like he moved to southern France, like super nice guy. I've been following this. I've enjoyed every video. He's doing live streams now. He's struggling a little bit with like balancing, doing like good videos and doing like finishing the freaking machine. He's already planning the next version of it. Like he called it the tour version because he's learned so much. But it's like, if you watch his videos, it's like a journey from someone who has some skills, but no clue how to build anything professionally, like with CNC machines, to someone who's like a proper engineer. And it's super entertaining. It's super interesting. I like his music. I like his personality. I can watch this guy for hours. Just like how he's like assembling something. It's just super, super interesting.
Mom, I lost my job. Oh no, what are you going to do? I'm going to make a marble machine. No. Here's the cow. Go and get some magic beans instead.
But he's a musician. He has toured. Like he's a professional musician. I said he's built this, like he's done like a lot of research, like old, like there's a music instrument museum somewhere in I think the Netherlands, and he's visited that a couple of times to see like how the past professionals built like all the weird music instruments that we know, like all of that. He's done a lot of research, and I said it is really awesome. If you see the machine, I mean, I still can't believe the amount of fiddling and the amount of engineering that has gone into it. And he's already, as I said, he's already learned so much that he's planning the next one that will be even better, because he's just all the mistakes that he made with this machine because he didn't know any better, he's not going to make it the next one. So it's just super entertaining. It's free. Like, go to YouTube, watch it. You can support him if you want to, but yeah, no, there's no need. Like, everything's free.
Excellent. Good pick. Like that. Jeffrey, what have you got for us?
I'm totally going highbrow today. Mm-hmm. And I have, I know, total shock. Ooh. It's a it's an 8-episode TV series that I found called 8 Days That Made Rome. And it's exactly what it sounds like. Each episode, so it's 8 episodes,
covers I've seen this.
One specific day in the history of the Roman Empire, and what happened on that specific day that had a profound impact on the whole empire. And the woman that hosts the show, she's a historian, and I'm not sure what like university or organization she's associated with, but it's somewhere in the UK. And she's just like absolutely brilliant, does a great job of explaining why all the events are so important. And then mixed in with that, then they do reenactment stuff with actors so that you get the visual to go along with what she's talking about. And you know, each episode is about an hour, 50 right. minutes.
Okay, so it's like not that. 8 days in a section, it's 8 individual days throughout history.
Right. Eight days throughout history.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just a really cool and fascinating little miniseries about the history of Rome.
Cool. Is, I'm trying to see who the thing is. I'm wondering whether it's Alison. What's her name?
Bettany.
Different. Sorry?
Bettany. I want to say it's Bettany.
Oh, she's the one with the dark hair that's kind of hot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She does a lot of stuff on Greece, because a lot of stuff on Channel 5. She goes to Greece and awful lot. She did that one about, what's his, the bloke, the big voyage. What's it called? But it's on Channel 5, and you can stream it if you want. She's great.
I'm into mystery, so I'll definitely watch that if I can get it.
Yeah, I've actually met her. She came to a talk at the museum in town, and I went to see her.
All right,
she's a really, really brilliant person.
She comes across as incredibly knowledgeable on the show.
If you look, most of her stuff is Hellenic, and that's where a passion is. So,
cool.
You know,
no, good one, nice pick. My cool thing is my Apollo launch pad.
Oh, nice.
Man, it's £130.99. It's not got great ratings, and I can see why it hasn't got great ratings. There's a review in it that says that the numbers rub off the bag, which makes it incredibly challenging anyway. Well, the numbers on the ones that I've got are on the bag firmly, and it's still incredibly challenging. This is closer to a jigsaw puzzle than it is to an Airfix kit or an Airfix
Lego.
Kit than it is to a Lego kit. You're going to need glue. The whole base is particularly, it's good in design in the way that it fits together, but the thing is there's no rigidity. So when you then pick it up, it just crumbles in your hands. You're going to have to go in and add a whole pile of bridging bricks across sections to glue them with super glue. And then you're going to have to use them 6 high with normal standard bricks so that you can support the cross junctions in the top deck, because otherwise you'll never get the gray top deck plates into place. And even then it still bounces a lot. And it still falls apart when you try and move it all. And then when you think about where you're going to move it to, I would probably build it wherever you want it, because you're talking about a base that's not particularly strong with a tower that's 4 foot tall. And once you start trying to pick it up, it just goes all over the place. It's I've glued all of the vertical supports on the outside of the tower as well. So you need to dry build it, then break it apart and build it again once you realize you've got it right. It's complicated. It's confusing. But I've really, really enjoyed it, and it looks amazing. I'm not finished yet. I'm still on the, I'm at the top, and I'm doing the gear housing for the top, and I've just got pissed off with it now. Just yesterday, I was like, I've had enough. I can't do it. You know, I've had days and days at this solidly. I'm going to have a day off from it. So I've had a day off today and done nothing on it. So I'll go back to it tomorrow, perhaps.
$224.99 in the US.
Wow.
You're That's getting, expensive.
Get yourself over to check it out at AliExpress or something like that, maybe. You'll probably get it cheaper. Mm. Way cheaper.
Yeah, because I'm looking at it through Amazon right now. Yeah, so I bet it's a much better price through AliExpress.
Yeah, it's only 130 quid here. So say only.
That's for a proper official Lego one there.
But it's 3,700 odd pieces. It's,
no, this is not proper official.
It's not Lego, no.
I know it's not.
Lego don't do a launch platform.
No. Yeah.
Well, I'm missing out then.
The only thing that I've got suspect with it is, and people have said that it looks great, but the only thing, there's only one picture that's on the side of the box that shows the full rocket sat next to it, and I can't see how it attaches yet. So I'm going to keep going though. But it's I mean, you're talking about something that's over 1.2 meters tall. It's massive, but it's worth it.
It's pretty big.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot. I've had to put it on the floor now because I can't build it on the table anymore.
Wow.
It is Lego,
it's
Lego compatible.
Yeah. She made it
Where can we get a hold of you, Muller?
Muller Biker in the on Twitter, also in the Slack room. I'm on a couple of other things, but I barely go there. I'm on. Forget it.
Cool. All right. Fair enough. Ian, where are you?
Me, I'm here every week on the Big Show. And otherwise, you'll find me in the Slack room occasionally on Facebook, Ian Grant, and LinkedIn, Ian Grant, doing Convault things. That's the usual places to find me.
Excellent. Rich?
You can find me on Twitter at Barking, on Instagram, Early Morning Barking, and at earlymorningbarking.com, and on the YouTube channel, Early Morning Barking.
Patrice?
Well, you can find me every week here on The Big Show, also Fridays on The Mac Show. Everything I'm doing, all the social media links and projects and podcasts and whatnot, you can find on thepatrice.com. And my podcast is The Foodie Flashback at foodieflashback.com, where I talk to interesting people about food and just everything that goes with that.
Excellent. And the Mac Show is going back half an hour tomorrow, by the way, everyone. So we'll be at 4:30 because I've got a meeting at 3:30 on Zoom. So. Jeffrey, where would you be?
Twitter and Instagram. Jay Gamet on both. And Thursdays here. Fridays on the Mac Show. A lot of Tuesdays on Mac Voices Live. And did I say my YouTube channel? YouTube.com/JayGamet.
Yep, your how-to videos and explanation videos and
yep,
how-to videos.
How to Muller, mate. It's a 2 hours long show to get up to writing his own name. my name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. You can follow that work at British Tech. Please make sure you support our sponsors by saying thanks to them for supporting at British Tech on those socials as well as. Please also support Kyle. He does the daily show every morning. The new show is dwindling in funds. So we need $250 a month to keep it going with Kyle. If it disappears, it disappears. And we don't want it to. So please get your donations transferred out of Patreon, because that's where we've had most of our problems, where people just haven't realized that PayPal has stopped sending the money to Patreon. Do your PayPal donation direct to us, and that'll be far easier. If you go to all of the pages on the subscriptions, they'll be there. Someone did point out that the how can we help page doesn't have that on that, so we'll have to get that changed. But thanks for all the support that we get. And there's loads of people who have sent some money into Sports Across this month. That's brilliant. Thank you ever so much. If we had $5 a month from everyone that listened to just this show, we'd be able to afford to do this professionally. So, you know, that's how many people we get to and reach out to. 6,000 people a day listen to the Daily Show. So that's more than enough to cover us if they could give us a donation. We're back again tomorrow with the Mac Show at 4:30 and back again next week with the Big Show. Have a great weekend and enjoy the hot weather and thunderstorms, because I'm going to. See you next week. Thanks for listening.